Let's pray. Oh Lord, we do get to sing to you. We get to look forward to singing to you forever of your power to save, because you took our guilty stains and you washed them away with your precious blood. And that's what we get to celebrate here tonight, today, this morning, in our time of communion. I pray you'd bless this time and it would just bear much fruit and it would glorify you, Lord Jesus. And it's in your great name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. And as we spend time in God's word, we want to make sure that everyone has a copy of God's word that they're looking at. So if there are going to be some men, they're going to distribute Bibles. So if you don't have one, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll make sure to get one in your hands. And for those that do have a Bible or smart device or something, go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to be in verses 7 and 8. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Throughout this letter written to the churches of Galatia, the Apostle Paul has been rebuking a group of false teachers called the Judaizers. The Judaizers have been corrupting the message of the gospel. They were seeking to be justified by their adherence to Mosaic law, and particularly circumcision. Seeking to be justified before God by any works and not by faith alone is called legalism. Any teaching that brings our own merit into the equation to satisfy God's justice is just false teaching perpetrated by false teachers and only leads to eternal damnation. Earlier in this book, in Galatians chapter 2, Apostle Paul said that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not according to the works of the law, since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Salvation is by faith alone, through the finished work of Christ on the cross alone. He did the justification work that no human could do. And we read the context for our passage here this morning in our scripture reading, Paul speaking to these Galatian believers, calling them brothers. And here in our passage, he further commands them. Please follow along as I read Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. In verse 7, Paul commands the Galatian believers to not be deceived. Do not allow yourself to be misled. The Judaizers were saying these works of the flesh were the way to be justified before God and to be pleasing to him. Paul had already commented on this in Galatians chapter 3 when he said, do you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? And those answers obviously are no. But here in verse 7 of our passage, Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. These false teachers were mocking God by their teaching and by their actions. This word for mocking means to turn up your nose, like sneering, or to treat with contempt. They were running down a path, turning up their nose at God, and not seeing any of the consequences for their actions. But God is not mocked. To demonstrate how God is not mocked, Paul provides an agricultural analogy, and he says that whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. This statement is axiomatic. It's self-evident. In agriculture, if you plant a seed, you will harvest a crop that corresponds to that seed. If you plant corn seed, you will harvest corn. You're not going to get tomatoes. You're not going to get beans. Whatever seed you sow, this is the kind of crop that you will reap. The beginning of verse 8 says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. When one sows to his own flesh, He is submitting to the passions and desires of the flesh. The sin of legalism specifically puts its trust in the flesh, and that only feeds its desires, which further produce the deeds of the flesh. And what kind of harvest will be reaped from that effort? Corruption. That word for corruption means the kind of decay experienced by food or a corpse. And those things are being corrupted. They're being destroyed. And there are many natural consequences of corruption. But the ultimate corruption, the ultimate destruction, is eternal death. For those that are characterized by this kind of sowing, and it has become a practice, they will not, as Galatians 5:21 says, inherit the kingdom of God, but they will suffer eternal destruction. Suffering under the wrath of God forever. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. When one is sowing to the Spirit, they're submitting themselves to the desires of the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, and to walk in step with the Spirit. And what is the harvest of this kind of sowing? Eternal life. That's spending eternity in the presence of the Lord, worshiping Him forever. There are two sowers, two kinds of soils, and two kinds of harvests in this passage. Which sower are you? And into which soil are you sowing? Man is sinful. We have all sinned against the Holy God, and we all deserve to reap what we have sown. We all rightly deserve eternal damnation for our sins. But that leads us to the gospel. That leads us to the good news that we don't have to reap what we have sown. It's the great exchange from a loving God. We reap the harvest of the perfect obedience that Christ had sown. And He reaped the penalty of the sinful life that we have sown. On the cross, Jesus went as the substitute in the place of sinners to suffer under the wrath of God for all the sins, for all of those who would repent and turn from their sins to follow Him, to believe in Him. And He received the penalty for their sins, and the sinner receives forgiveness. And this is why we set aside time every week here at Grace Bible Church, so that we can remember what Christ accomplished on the cross. And we do this by taking a little cracker and a little cup of juice. The cracker represents the body of Christ that was given. The cup of juice represents the blood that was shed. And in doing so, we get to remember and proclaim His death on the cross. But the Lord's Supper is only for believers. It's only for those that, as Galatians 5:24 says, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if by your own admission you would say that that does not describe you, then when the tray, when those elements come by, we simply ask that you would let them pass. This is a family time for those that have put their trust and faith in Christ. If you have any questions about what it means to put your faith in Christ, to put your faith in Christ alone, please come talk to me, talk to any one of the other pastors, come talk to any one of the people that may have brought you or that you may be sitting next to. We would love to talk to you. This is also a time for believers to examine themselves. We are warned not to take the bread and the cup in an unworthy manner. If you have any known unrepentant sin, confess that sin right now. Turn from it and partake. Believer, consider the harvest, eternal life that you get to reap, and you will reap for eternity, forever and ever, because of what Christ alone accomplished on the cross. As you consider these things, please take the elements on your own, and when your heart is prepared, go ahead and do that, and I will come back and close our time in prayer. Men, please come and serve us.